WK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Wendy Gillette. The death toll has risen to 55 after wildfires roared through a tourist town in Maui. Hawaii Governor Josh Green.
We're just about 48 hours in, and there's tragedy on the roadside. There's tragedy in the homes in Lahaina, and we're trying to be very careful to respect the dignity of people who have had such loss.
Hundreds of homes and buildings burned to the ground.
Everything is gone. There's nothing left.
J.D. Hessemer owns a business in the area.
I did have another employee stay back and said he was going to finish something up. And he did get out from the fire, but he also lost his home.
A hearing is scheduled in about an hour in former President Donald Trump's case involving his alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 election. It will govern what Trump can say about the case. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
Trump's team is claiming that most of the material should not remain secret. They do not contest that things like grand jury materials could have a protective order, but they are concerned about the proposed breadth of the protective order that the special counsel has proposed.
COVID is back this summer. Correspondent Cammy McCormick has the details.
The World Health Organization says the number of new COVID cases rose 80% in the last month. Even though it says COVID is no longer a global health emergency, it warns the virus will continue to circulate and mutate, causing occasional spikes in infections, hospitalizations, and deaths. Summer gatherings, travel, and a new subvariant could be playing a role. These latest numbers could be misleading, though, as little testing is going on.
Five U.S. citizens could soon be heading home from Iran as part of a prisoner swap. They would be exchanged for Iranian prisoners and billions of dollars. CBS's Margaret Brennan.
The White House said this is not ransom and that no U.S. taxpayer dollars will be used. The funds are from unfrozen Iranian oil revenue.
The Americans were released from prison and are under house arrest until the funds in South Korea are unfrozen. Nearly a third of hospital pharmacists in the U.S. say they've rationed, delayed, or canceled treatments because of drug shortages. Correspondent Jim Krasula.
The concerning finding comes from a new survey from an association which represents more than 60,000 hospital pharmacists and technicians. Shortages are especially critical for chemotherapy drugs.
The shortages are currently at a record high. 99% of the pharmacists who were surveyed say they've experienced issues. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Will you let the cops access your cameras? Milwaukee police have introduced a new technology that enables them to access private security cameras across the city with proper authorization. The initiative, endorsed by Mayor Cavalier Johnson, aims to enhance efficiency by allowing law enforcement to view live feeds and capture video from crime scenes. A Racine County village planner has had his lawsuit against the city of Wauwatosa thrown out.
Mount Pleasant village planner Robin Palm challenged Wauwatosa's approval process for a warehousing company to use a property instead of building apartments. He argued that the city's approval violated zoning rules. Despite his efforts, a judge dismissed Palm's case, stating that the city's decision to approve the warehousing was valid. Wauwatosa officials are happy with the outcome and believe they can continue their development plans. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Koska.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. Sandy, we're still talking about Ukraine, and we got a little more that we've got to cover. And because it has not been, you notice, Sandy, it's almost like it's the local news is not talking about it. It's pushed back. There's so many different things going on, I guess, that they have to look at what the news, the national news and things like that, is all these other things are happening. And so Ukraine is, the American people are just...
Well, the half-life of the news cycle is pretty short. And so when things have been in the news cycle too long and when there's nothing new and different to report about it, you know, there's a... You know, the war in Ukraine, the news looks pretty much the same day after day. We've got Bakhmut. They're still fighting in Bakhmut. We still don't quite understand what's going on because the news gets filtered through both sides. And so, you know, at some point, it's like it's the same as yesterday, and the news tomorrow is going to be the same as today. And so they stop covering it with any. It goes from front page to back page pretty quickly.
So, look. It just appears as if, for the most part, this war has been supported more so by Democrats than by Republicans, and even Democrats are weakening in their support.
Well, I mean, you know, something that goes to the back page but continues to be sucking over $100 billion out of our budget, you know, that's a big deal, and at some point it begins to take money away from other projects or other things, and we have to begin to evaluate, like I said in the very beginning, whether this is an area of actual strategic interest and important strategic value to the United States. Is it really a matter of our real politic or not? And and my evaluation at the beginning was that it was not. And that we would not have the appetite to stay there over the long haul. Trump talks about settling it in a day. Clearly, the only way you settle it in a day is by deciding to withdraw support from Ukraine so that they're forced to negotiate a rapid settlement with Russia. And, if we had not provided them with the encouragement that we provided them with in 2020, late 2021, they probably would have negotiated something with Russia that would have avoided the conflict. So, you know, the world is in a much different place today as the result of the West's willingness to provide promise to Ukraine that allowed Ukraine to invest itself in standing up to and resisting negotiations with Russia, which led to a war which has led currently to the decimation of Ukraine as well as Russia. But Ukraine has not got the staying power that, that Russia does.
You know, Sandy, and these words from President Joe Biden, and then we'll go to the phone lines. President Joe Biden and the senior national security team have repeatedly said the United States will help Ukraine as long as it takes. People are now starting to question that as long as it takes. You mentioned something that I thought was kind of unconscionable before we went to break. You mentioned 5 years. And I think people are expecting to see something, you know.
Well, hopefully the, you know, the,
I know you're
the Saudi Arabia thing with 24 countries dealing with Zelensky and Ukraine trying to come up with peace. But you know, we spent 20 years in Afghanistan. And we needed to pull out of Afghanistan. Trump announced a pullout date. It was finally exercised by Biden. There are some callers, CJ, well, you know, could well again and mention the fact that the Afghanistan, the final withdrawal from Afghanistan didn't go swimmingly, but we got out of Afghanistan after 20 years and after many dollars spent there. And whether we left some munitions behind, I know that number will come, could well come up, $85 billion or whatever the number was in the Bagram Air Base. All of that is kind of a makeshift argument for saying we should have stayed there even longer. You know, we wouldn't have had the Bagram Air Base, nor would we have had all those munitions there if we hadn't gotten stuck in the quagmire and been there for 20 years and spent $1 trillion. So, you know, we have to be careful up front. We have to end up, we have to develop end games. We have to have strategies. And I'm afraid that our foreign policy under any of the administrations, Republican and Democrat, over the last 25 years have lacked any notion of endgame strategies or real critical strategic interest of the United States.
All right, let's go to the phone line. CJ, good morning to you. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. I know you won't keep me on long before Sandy speaks over me.
Well, as long as you don't change the subject.
Okay, well, you know, what topic can we touch now without a distraction from the actual facts of what's going on today? You know, paying billions of dollars for prisoners to Iran. We are safer and more prosperous with a Republican, no doubt about it. And
let's hang on 1 second. So define that. Why? What is it about a Republican that makes us safer than a Democrat? If you think it's that simplistic, I'd like to hear you explain that.
Because Republicans do what they say they're going to do. And this president, remember, and you know, when you mentioned it, Sandy, you forgot to mention the 13 Gold Stars families that just testified about the failures in Afghanistan. You know, you obviously didn't hear their cry for this commander cut and run. And this president, Biden, cut and run, promised that this war in Ukraine wouldn't happen, remember? He's the only one that could go toe-to-toe with Putin. Well, you know what? Ukraine wasn't invaded during Trump. And you know what? 13 soldiers didn't die in Afghanistan.
Okay, so you're all over the place.
The only pop-
CJ,
well,
you're all
well,
over
well,
the place.
Actually,
let's
I don't,
focus.
Well, you know, actually, CJ, 13 soldiers didn't die during a retreat during Trump, but significantly more than 13 soldiers died in Afghanistan during the 4 years of the Trump administration. So it depends on what battle you want to point at and when the soldiers were lost and how. You know, no soldier lost is a good thing, and no soldier lost is something to be ignored. And I lived through the Vietnam conflict and what wasn't there, but lost friends and have friends who were forever damaged by it. But if you want to go through history and look at when the country has been at war or gone to war and under what administration and what party was in power, I don't think you're going to enjoy that historical analysis if you want to do it on a partisan basis. Personally, I'd rather just do it on a historical fact basis and look at what the policies were that led to or the problems and led to the wars. But we've been in more wars and lost more soldiers under Republicans than we have under Democrats.
CJ?
Can I respond?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? The mere fact that a year and a half prior to the end of that war and the disaster, it's the only policy that Biden claimed to keep because he wanted to be out there by September 11th to claim that we're out of Afghanistan. But we left hundreds of Americans and thousands of allies behind, Sandy. So you can claim it a success.
First of all, this is not, I don't understand the contest you and I seem to have this is not that kind of a show, and this is not a personality contest, but incidentally, the problems that were associated with losses of lives has occurred under various retreats. And under Trump, I think we pulled the plug on a substantial number of Kurds and Kurdish allies to the point where we lost, many of them were put in a complete situation of risk vis-a-vis the Turks and the Syrians. And we had enlisted their aid and their support and abandoned them under the Trump administration. And so we can talk about that. But I think we should just talk about our general foreign policy and the extent to which we're doing things smartly or not, because that wasn't handled well either.
Okay, well, then how about this foreign policy, the open border? And now we hear Democrat mayors, sanctuary cities, crying out for help from Biden, who's caused this disaster.
And, oh, okay, CJ.
You know, we're living your policy.
Oh, okay, CJ. Thank you very much for the call.
So one thing about the border disaster is that it wasn't created by the current administration. In fact, we had a commission appointed by George Bush II 20 years ago to try and work on what was then viewed as a disaster, an impending disaster. So we've been at this for a long time.
You know, it's not as simplistic as CJ wants to make it out. You know, he fails to understand that it was a Republican president, George Bush, that took us into Afghanistan, whether or not. But you don't look at it from the perspective of Democrats and Republicans. Only CJ does that, you know, and to blame one side or the other. When people go to war, when young men and women are sent all over this world to fight and lose their lives, no family ever says it was a Democrat who sent us or a Republican who sent us. That's not what they say. And any fighter or any person who signs up for the military doesn't ever say, I'm signing up as a Democrat or a Republican. And so it doesn't matter how CJ wants to twist that. That's not the way it works. Got to go to a break. Ken, I see you. We'll get you on the other side. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
The 2023 Wisconsin State Fair is here, packed with heart-pounding rides, mouth-watering treats, and electrifying entertainment. Indulge in deep-fried delights, explore captivating exhibits, and create memories that'll last a lifetime. On now through August 13th at State Fair Park in West Allis. Grab your tickets now at wisstatefair.com. This message brought to you by Parallel Employment Group. For over 35 years, Parallel has been your partner in success. Make your career aspirations a reality. Visit parallelemployment.com today.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Oconomowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raise the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Scattered thunderstorms likely this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 83. Southwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tonight. Lows dip down to about 62. Partly cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 84. Tomorrow, ample sunshine expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 68 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy Williams. Let's go to the phone lines. And Ken from Sturgeon Bay. Good morning, Ken. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. I agree with you both. I don't agree much, but we should have never got involved with this endless war that's going to happen. Me, it's how do you give billions, if not trillions, to a 45-year-old man, and now he's going on the offensive by sending drones to Moscow? I think we're just on the verge of something serious, serious consequences. And what is his background? Do you know much about Zelensky? How at 45 years old you become president?
Well, he used to be a comedian, and the people voted for him.
A comedian?
That's what he was.
Yeah, he was an actor. He had a television show that was actually a sitcom that was the number one show in Russia as well as Ukraine, and he was quite the well-known TV personality. And then became a political figure. You know, I'm not sure that age, you know, I think in the United States we'd do well to have people who were our leaders who were closer to 45 than 80, but quite frankly. But and we have in our past had leaders of that age, JFK being one and Barack Obama being another. But so I'm not sure age is the problem, but I'm not sure Zelensky is necessarily a negative issue, but I think putting ourselves into a proxy war in which we don't have a basic strategic interest and opening our checkbook to the point that we have does create serious problems. And of course, a war between Russia and Ukraine is bound to spill over into Russia. I mean, if we were invaded by a country, we would not want to restrict ourselves to fighting the war only on our soil. We try to fight it on the soil of the invaders as well. So that's kind of an inevitable outcome. Hopefully the drones and things that are being used against Russia are not American weapons. So far, I think they are not.
Hey, Ken, thank you very much for the call as always. Let me ask you, Sandy, here on the, we're dealing with some, on the state level with the state Supreme Court, your thoughts on this battle. And some saying maybe it would be better if the Supreme Court justices were appointed as opposed to elected. What are your thoughts on something?
Well, like, you know, over time, if you look at the history, many of the Supreme Court justices were originally appointed to fill vacancies by governors and then ran. But the situation is such that I think the problem is more just with the judiciary that needs to be as nonpartisan as it was expected when the judiciary was envisioned. And it's the introduction of a great deal of money into the election process for judges that has, I think, eroded confidence. So, you know, it could be that we should go to a system where they actually are appointed and never have to run for office and sit for terms and then are subject to either reappointment or being replaced. But that isn't the system, and I suspect would be difficult to shift to that system.
You know, Sandy, we do know that our government is broken. I don't think there's anybody who can argue whether or not our government is broken or not. It's broken. How can we fix it?
Well, I think you have to look for things that might have a broad impact. If you're trying to fix something, you try to get to what are the things you could do that would have the most impact? And I suspect the time is right that getting money out of politics would have
But we know that.
Well, but I'm just saying, if you're going to fix something, you've got to come up with tools. And what's the tool that might have the broadest impact? If you looked at what's wrong with politics, I think the most common thread that you can come back to is that it's become unresponsive. It's become responsive to very strident interests. It's all these things you can look at and say, okay, and if there was less money in politics, those things could be mitigated and politics would at least become much more responsive to voters directly rather than to interest groups that fund elections.
So we somehow get frustrated because, a little more than 50% of our population is voting, and younger people are starting to disconnect early.
But again, money in politics, if you vote and you don't think your vote makes a difference, the incentive to vote goes down. And I think An awful lot of the non-voting in our country is based on cynicism. Why should I vote? It doesn't make any difference anyway.
That's true.
Or I'm so angry at the system, I'm not going to vote as a rebellion, you know, an act of rebellion against the system. It's a disgruntlement that causes you to decide you're going to sit on your hands and not vote.
But then they don't realize that the only way out, the only way forward to change is through that process, right?
Exactly. But if it's the definition of crazy is doing the same thing over and over again and getting the same result and continuing to do it, right? So I think that's been the experience with many voters, at least with many voters in many different interest groups. I think it's one of the reasons that maybe African-Americans haven't voted in great numbers is like, why should I vote?
Well, there's no question. People say nothing's changing for me.
I mean, it's cynicism. So cynicism is bred, and I think part of that cynicism, again, you can come around to money in politics. And I think that on both sides of the aisle, conservatives and liberals will reach agreement about this money in politics thing. So, I think it could happen, but what else can happen? The same answer you gave. Will that happen? No, that's probably the answer to all things.
All right, listen, we got to go to the break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Parts of Western Maui are cut off after devastating wildfires that killed at least 55 people. CBS News correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti is there.
Many who escaped the flames are now waiting for roads to reopen to see if their home survived. But others who've been trapped inside by those same road closures are running low on basics.
A prisoner swap is underway that soon could bring home five American citizens who were imprisoned in Iran. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
This is just the beginning of a process that I hope and expect will lead to their return home to the United States.
A court hearing is scheduled within the hour involving former President Donald Trump. CBS's Tom Foti on what will be discussed.
A mid-morning hearing in Washington, D.C. federal court will focus on how much former President Donald Trump should be allowed to say about evidence in the election interference case against him.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. As part of an investigation into allegations of sexual abuse, State Attorney General Josh Call is urging a judge to unseal court documents belonging to the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. Call contends that the church has not cooperated in sharing the information voluntarily. The Milwaukee Archdiocese continues to assert its position that Call's investigation exclusively singles out Catholic churches. Young professionals have it good in Milwaukee.
The city has been recognized by Forbes as a top 20 destination for young professionals, securing the 16th spot in the magazine's recent rankings. A favorable unemployment rate, median income, and affordable median home price contributed to its placement. Madison is the sole other Wisconsin city on the list, positioned at 22nd. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Embarrassed by ugly yellow toe fungus?
Living with toe fungus it's embarrassing. I was afraid to take my socks off. I hid my yellow and crumbly toes from everybody.
Introducing Crystal Flush. Crystal Flush is the only FDA-registered 2-in-1 home treatment that attacks your toe fungus from both the inside and out. Crystal Flush's new and different combination system knocks out toe fungus for good. Guaranteed.
Crystal Flush is different. After just a few weeks, my fungus was gone. I mean, 100% disappeared. Crystal Flush was the only thing that ever worked. So if you're skeptical because you tried a bunch of other stuff, Crystal Flush is different. This is a game changer.
Crystal Flush is now available without a prescription, but it is not available in stores. Get your risk-free supply today. Go to crystalflush.com. That's CrystalFlush.com. Stop being embarrassed by ugly yellow toenails. Go to crystalflush.com or call 800-204-4484.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Everybody's talking about the good old days, right? Everybody, the good old days. Well, let's talk about the good old days. Come to think of it, as bad as we think they are, these will become the good old days for our children. But why don't we try to remember that kind of September when life was slow and oh, so mellow. Try to remember. And if you remember, then follow. Oh, why does it seem that the past is always better? We look back and we think the winters were warmer, the grass was greener, the skies were bluer and smiles were bright. Can it be that it was all so simple then? Or has time rewritten every line? And if we had the chance to do it all again, tell me, would we? Could we?
So, Earl.
This song is the basis for Make America Great Again. Nostalgia, memories. We all go back to, we all take ourselves back to warmer summers and nicer days and better times and make America that way again.
Oh, cut it off! Cut it off! All right.
Sandy. No, but I mean, that to me, that's the invidious aspect. That's the genius of that kind of a concept, which is you don't tell anyone what you're going to do. You just evoke in them their good memories and say, that's, do you remember that?
Yeah, Sandy.
We're going there.
You just, oh, tell me it's not so.
What, I talked about Trump?
Well.
Kind of?
Just Gladys Knight and the way we were.
Yeah.
Anyway. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, never thought Donald Trump would interfere with
the Pips.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy Williams. Sandy, artificial intelligence. It's not going away.
Well, you know, it's not going away. Off the record, we talked about it. You know, it's... You know, you use your phone and spell check. That was one of the earlier applications. And you can notice that each iteration of the updates on our phones causes spell check to be much better at predicting what our next word is going to be.
Oh,
pretty
yeah.
soon, it'll predict the whole sentence because it's learning all the time. And, you know, an AI is being applied now in medical diagnosis. And there's an article in today's Wall Street Journal or yesterday's about some concerns there are about... its accuracy in all circumstances. But the fact is that AI has this capacity to know everything about your patient history, you as a patient, your history going all the way back. And so it's able to install that information very, you know, instantaneously into the various symptoms and things you're presenting with. So that I think everyone agrees that at least as a tool for medical diagnosis, that AI will be very important. It's being used for the development of reports, business reports, things that are based on Excel spreadsheets and analysis of prior trends and the verbiage associated with it, such that, you know, in investment banking, the young associates who used to do that work, there might not need to be as many of them because they can rely on AI. So I think AI is one of the first instances where we've got computer applications that will really affect the intellectual way we approach business. There's no question that computers, replaced carbon paper, and in many respects replaced the number of secretaries we needed. Used to be that every white collar worker needed a secretary. Now there might be one assistant for five workers because of the ability of everyone to use laptops and everything. But that wasn't changing the way we applied ourselves. Artificial intelligence has that potential.
What's frightening, Sandy, is you say it, it's learning.
Yeah.
Artificial intelligence, and you referred to it as it's learning. I think that's the fear.
Well, it has this capacity to absorb everything that has happened, whether it's everything you've done, everything you've written, but all of that stuff then can be used with algorithms to figure out and project what it is. When you've done that in the past, what were your next words? When you said X, Y, and Z, what were the next words after X, Y, and Z? And it'll predict, and it'll probably be right. So it gets better and better at this process. And that's a simplistic analysis of it. But chatbot ends up being this approach now of you can ask a browser a question, ask it to write something on your behalf about it, and it goes and does a great job.
That chat box is what is so mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, this whole thing is, we talked off the air a little bit about China, but obviously AI is going to be very important in the future. And we're trying to get in the way of China being a leader in AI. China has been one of the leaders in the development of AI, but chatbot and some of these things require a very sophisticated form of AI that requires maybe months of learning. And the learning needs to be sequential and needs to be uninterrupted. And my understanding from what's going on right now with the chips and the desire of the U.S. government to get in the way of China's access to American sophisticated chips is that our chips are more reliable than theirs, not necessarily more sophisticated, but more reliable. And the reliability of those chips is important in AI because you'll be going through a process of essentially a computer system learning something for months based on all the iterations, and you can't interrupt the iterations with a crash or you have to start over again. And so it's kind of there's a significant importance to the kind of reliable chips being made in the United States, and we're apparently trying to throw ourselves in the position of blocking China's access to them. My concern about those kind of things is they're short-sighted. Can China learn how to make chips as reliable as ours? Certainly they can. Will they? Well, they certainly will if we make them, and that's what we're in the process of trying to do. Furthermore, the idea that China isn't terribly important to us is just fundamentally wrong. You know, China's on the verge, apparently, of deflation right now, much the way Japan went into two or three decades of deflation.
Almost didn't get out.
Is having trouble getting out. China might be on the verge of something like the same thing, and a deflationary, recessionary China will be very tough on the world. And the one thing it won't do, however, is make China a more expensive place to manufacturing things. Right now, China's wages are going up. China's wage advantages are going down. But a recession in China will only have the effect of making the yuan cheaper and making manufacturing in China probably more attractive.
All right. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Good morning, Earl, and good morning, Sandy. Sandy, I really enjoy your discussion on AI, and here's why. It's something I'm very fascinated with, and if you want to help your portfolio investing in NVIDIA, which is not maybe leading the race, but one of the top horses in the race for AI, I think it has been profitable or it's a good company. But let me just see if I understand AI correctly, Sandy, because I like the way you explained it. It was explained to me this way, that if you took the smartest man in the world and gave him all the resources, and his job was to cure a certain type of cancer, he might be able to do it in 5 years. He might. But if you gave it to AI, they could do it in 5 months or even less. Is that the right, correct way of
putting it? Well, yeah. I mean, the point is that AI has this ability, computers have this ability through browsing and through their access to everything, essentially, to not only reach everything, but they can do it essentially instantaneously, speed of light, so that if you or I go to the library and we have to microfiche our way through the data, it can take a long time to find out all the things that AI can find out all at once, okay? And so that's the remarkable thing about the ability of computers to access everything at once. I went to Harvard, and the Widener Library there was the biggest library in the world. You could go there and microfiche yourself to death to write a thesis, and you'd spend all your time looking at this stuff. And AI, and Google has substantially replaced all that kind of research and made it much faster. But AI replacing the human who does things one at a time with a computer that does it all at once, okay? And so, you know, they've already had examples of this, which was they were looking for antibiotics that could potentially fight MRSA, these antibiotic-resistant diseases, and they fed it a whole bunch of information about various kinds of antibiotics and various kinds of infections, and within a very short period of time, like ours, they got back a set of like five or six antibiotics that the AI machine thought could be very effective against the MRSA, and lo and behold, yep, several of them were real breakthroughs.
So hang on, Bill. So, Sandy, is it safe to say we fear AI because we don't understand it? The average person?
No, I think, to be honest with you, I don't understand it and I don't fear it as much as the people who really understand it seem to fear it, because they seem to understand all of the various potentials of it. I lock my mind on stuff like the NVIDIA, what Bill was talking about, which is this capacity of it to do really good things. But of course, if you can do really good things, maybe you can do really bad things.
But Sandy, you know, again, the average person is concerned about, this is going to replace me.
Well, and there's that issue too. I mean, we've talked about computers all along, increasing the productivity of humans to the point where there will be a need for fewer humans working. And then the question is, how do you share the fruits of the labor of those humans who work amongst all those who don't work, right? And right now, capitalism is sort of the way we do it. We feed the money upstream to the owners. But it has the potential to skew things way in the direction of the people who own the businesses and who are extracting the value from the limited number of employees and all of that artificial intelligence.
Bill?
Yes, sir. The other thing I want to ask you, Sandy and Earl, you know, they talk about China, all this worry about China, China this and China that. China is in, if they're in a war, it's an economic war. It's not a war of destruction. They don't want that. They're intelligent enough to read that that's a no-win opportunity. But they want this, they would like to have economic dominance, which we're in a race in, and I just don't see that China is this horrible threat. The other thing I can share with you in China, I know the director for the missions in China. The thing that the Chinese government fears the worst, that they can't control, and it's already out of control in their country, is Christianity. So when we talk about the fear of China, you've got to put it in perspective. They don't want the ultimate destruction of the earth. They are so focused on capitalism and that kind of stuff. What's your thoughts?
Hey, Bill, as always, thank you very much for the call.
Well, clearly China is involved with trying to be an economic powerhouse, just the way the United States is. You know, and in fact, the United States, the view of the neocons was that it was the job of the United States to make sure that America was the only economic powerhouse and that we would do whatever we could to keep other countries from achieving that status. And I fear that much of our foreign policy right now towards China is premised exactly on that, which is sort of a dog in the manger thing. We want to be an economic powerhouse. We don't want anyone else to be an economic powerhouse that reaches anything like the same level as ours. And here we see an economy, China, that has come from nowhere in 1975 to second in the world and on a trajectory to match ours. And so we're being highly reactive to that. I feel a little bit like we're, when you go to the doctor, you cross your leg, he bangs your knee with a hammer, and your foot flexes. And I'm afraid that's the nature of our reaction right now to China. It's reflex. We can't seem to tolerate the notion of allowing China to match our economic power.
Got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
cloudy skies this afternoon with scattered thunderstorms likely. High temperatures reach up to 83. Winds out of the southwest 10 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight. Lows dip down to about 62. Partly cloudy skies. Sunny skies and calm tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 84. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 68 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
I know she breaks so easily. And then I told her, but I knew no matter how I tried to console her, she'd just do the best she could. But there are times the best is no damn good. And no matter how you try to be kind, there's always still part of you you leave behind. When it falls apart, there's no easy way to break somebody's heart.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, Sandy, I was trying really hard to not, you know, bring Donald Trump on in our conversation today, but you can't. Sandy, what happens? Donald Trump is clearly going to be the nominee. I don't think there's any question whatsoever.
Well, I suffer some delusions periodically in a view that there have been other candidates with leads as big as his that have fizzled. His is probably less likely to fizzle. I will agree with you, but, you know, I hold a slight vestige of hope.
Okay. For you, a slight vestige. And I don't know, Sandy, none of this is good for this nation. The whole thing, Trump and Biden again.
Well, you know, I mean, the notion that we have to prosecute, that the notion of prosecuting an ex-president, going through the court system, having that ex-president raise the defense of it being a political witch hunt, accusing essentially the whole judicial system and the political system of being rigged and biased, getting a people to believe that there is, in fact, a government, that our government is dominated by essentially a cabal of deep state folks that need to be ridden out of government. I mean, he's announced a war on the deep state if he wins. All of this is extremely destructive of our current system. And we better have in mind what we're going to replace it with. You know, like just like I talk about us having an end game when we get into a war, we ought to have an end game in mind in a political process in which we are apparently embarking on tearing up what we currently have. Okay? What are we going to replace it with?
Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Hey, good morning, Gary. You say what?
Hey, you know, Sandy thinks that we think that there's a deep state. Well, Sandy, don't you really think that it's kind of like unfair? I mean, whoever heard, if Donald Trump was not running for president, do you think that they would be after him the way they are, Sandy?
Well, there's 1,000 people who've been prosecuted already, and many of them have gone to jail. So, yeah, I do think so. I think if he wasn't president, he would have been gone after a year and a half ago, like all of them were. I think it took much longer because he was president. It was a different story. I think the problem is that in a system like we have, it's always possible to conjure that that hypothetical, would we do this if this person wasn't a political figure? And I think we would, but it creates this whole process. And the notion that there's a deep state basically tells us that there's a belief that there are, that all of our civil servants, these people who are career public servants, are in it for themselves and are taking our government and our to a place we don't want it to go. And some of that might be true, but is the way to get, how do we shift that? Do we just tear it up?
So
or what is the answer?
So let me ask you, Gary, why would somebody just pick out Donald Trump and say, this is the guy that the entire government is going to go after? I mean, to think that one man, this man alone, has been handpicked for the deep state to attack. I mean, why?
Don't you think that the DOJ had it out for him? The FBI had it out for him from the very, very beginning?
No, I'm saying why.
I don't know why they did.
Well, you should ask the question why they would. What would be the purpose?
I mean, I do think this. I think that people now look at the whole Russiagate thing and say, well, that was total fabrication. It actually wasn't total fabrication, and I don't think anyone has suggested that there weren't intertwined in the Trump campaign a bunch of connections like Paul Manafort and others who were involved substantially in Ukraine and in Russia with lots of money flowing in that direction, or in business dealings or the rest of it. I mean, there was smoke. There just wasn't apparently fire. And so, you know, the FBI's in process with Trump got a lot of attention at the tail end, and much of it was brought out by Trump himself, actually. So, you know, I don't know. I do think that Trump was such a controversial figure and was attacking so many bases of what was the, you know, like the CIA. He took the CIA on almost immediately and directly before he was elected and then after he was elected. I don't know. You know, I don't know why exactly he did that, but he certainly put himself in the position of being susceptible to being investigated or being looked into.
Quickly. Last thought.
Well, do you think Adam Schiff, when he was talking about the Russian collusion, and he said that he had pictures in his hand, he held up an envelope on camera and said, "I got the pictures." You know what? He was a bold-faced liar. He had no pictures, and he knew it. He never showed them to anybody. I mean, I'm just telling you, they had it out for him before he was even inaugurated. The day that he became, when he got elected, the FBI, everybody had it out for him, and they were not going to let him.
So let me ask you, had it out for him for what reason?
I think they thought he was dangerous, but the thing, you know what? There's a lot of people, even a lot of Democrats, that said, hey, the economy was good. He was a good president. He had a big mouth. And
Gary, I wish we had more time. We got to go. Thank everybody who made this show go. Thank you, Sandy. I'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend. We'll be back.
Somebody's home. I've got some cheese curds that I'm willing to share. Then I want to ride that giant slide over there. So if you've got 11 days to spare, won't you come with me to the Wisconsin State Fair? Won't you come with me to the Wisconsin?
There's something for everyone at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular August 3rd through the 13th.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.